near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio tonight is Paddy Bordier. Welcome, Paddy.
Hey, thank you.
And a man who is going to help solve one of Australia's greatest football problems, Giancarlo Solarzano. It is not Giancarlo here tonight. It is David Fuentes Solano. David, there has been a bit of a problem with the Costa Rican pronunciation of Juan Carlos, we're calling him. We're calling him Solarzano. We're calling him everybody. But Simon Hill was in a bit of a Twitter, I think you might say, on the weekend. So we've called in our own Costa Rican expert, near post expert. And so, David, what is the striker from Brisbane called?
Giancarlo Solarzano.
Solarzano.
So there you go.
I call him a great player because he's on fire at the moment.
He is too. So there you go. That's why we're the experts on the near post. Now you can email us, of course, flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. And of course, you can always catch us on Twitter. I don't think we've been there. The near post is on Twitter. You can get the podcast on the blog, nearpost.blogspot.com, and on iTunes and on halftimeheroes.com.au and streamed on 2xfm.org.au. And if there's any more, I mean, websites, Twitters, emails, Facebooks. We won't have any time for the show. But there you go. We're going to dedicate this show, as we do every week, and this week we're going to dedicate it to a large man in the A-League, Clive Palmer. He's taken a lot of brickbats, but he's thrown open the ground this weekend. They've had 10,000 people, well, they said purchase tickets, but I don't know how you purchase free tickets, but 10,000 people have signed up already, so the guy's put his hand even further into his pocket, so good news, and good on you, Clive. Now, the quiz this week for our two experts across the desk: who are the top three scorers in the A-League, and what do they have in common? Who are the top three scorers in the A-League, and what do they have in common? David, because you're sort of a little bit new to the show, and because we love you and you're from Costa Rica, I'm going to start with you. Do you know any of the top three?
Goodness me. Solarzano could be
He's got eight goals. Yeah. Okay.
Else is there? Two this weekend. So bagged a brace.
Robbie Cruz is the number one. He's got 10 goals. Solarzano has got 8, and alongside
third favourite Dutchman, Van Dijk.
Sergio Van Dijk. So they're the three top scorers. Sergio Van Dijk has 8 goals as well. What do the three of them have in common?
Yeah, see, I don't know this. Okay.
I asked the question to my daughter, who's 12, a 12-year-old girl sitting at home.
You're going to tell us she got this.
And I asked her the question. Yeah. She not only named the three scorers. Well, no, she didn't name them, actually. I told her who the three were. But then when I told her who the three were, she got it instantly. And I'm like, wow. And she just put her head back in the book and carried on reading. So, and my partner said, that's a worry, isn't it?
Certainly. It is a worry.
But Polly, I've stalled beautifully for you and for you, David.
Thank you for stalling. All right-footed?
All right-footed. Do you think my daughter's going to know that? No. Go on. Come on. Okay, this is it. 3, 2, 1. They all played for Brisbane Roar at one time.
Oh.
So you're outdone by an 11-year-old girl. I gave her an extra year, but 11-year-old girl. So there you go. That's the show's the future.
I would have got that if this show went for 2 hours and I was able to just give answers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. So here's some news. Almost 10,000 fans, as mentioned, have snapped up the free tickets for the Gold Coast United's clash with the Central Coast Mariners on Sunday. Holger Osek to announce his Asia Cup squad in the coming days, and we're expecting a heap of A-League players to get the nod, and we'll discuss that later in the show. Prolific striker Michelle Heyman nets the winner for Canberra United, but is she doing enough to get a Matilda shirt? It's expected to be confirmed this week that Ronaldo is heading overseas, certainly going to Qatar from the Brisbane Roar.
Oh, really?
Expected,
I didn't catch that.
No, you didn't, obviously. 2-year deal worth almost $2 million, so that's a little bit of money into the
league. That's not bad.
It's not bad at all for a guy who can't score, can't shoot, can't play. There you go. Sydney FC chief executive Edwin Lutt has weighed into the debate over A-League player wages, saying there is no justification for players to be remunerated so strongly when clubs are facing financial ruin. According to the PFA, the players' union, the average annual salary in the A-League is about $135,000, excluding marquee players. A median measure in America's Major League Soccer, a competition frequently held up as the benchmark for the A-League, revealed last season's median figure, which discounts designated players, was $88,000 US.
Wow.
So we're doing better than them, but obviously our crowds are way lower.
I'm stunned by that Ronaldo figure. And I just want to say this: I think Raquel May, when he went back to play for Boca Juniors, I think he was getting $1 million a year.
He was $2 million.
Right.
$2 million per
so
year.
So Ronaldo, who dare I say, isn't on the same level. Is,
but you say one is playing in Qatar, the other one is playing in Argentina.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
That's crazy.
That is a huge difference, yeah. I wonder if there's a transfer fee.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Wow.
Adelaide United have signed Uruguayan midfielder Francisco Yusica. If you've got a better pronunciation, David, let me know. So that'll boost their playing stocks as they enter the final leg of their title.
He's a bit of a campaign. What I know of him is he's a hard-working defensive midfielder. But what I really like about this, and this is about bringing foreign players in, he's quite young still. So he's a bit like the long life to go.
He's a bit like Perez, Paddy Perez, at the Irishman feigning as an Argentinian up there at the Central Coast. But unlike, you know, they both had a lot of junior sort of national level football, but didn't quite make the next grade, perhaps. But anyway, a good one to have in there.
Yeah,
Danny Vukovic has agreed terms on a 3-year contract with Perth Glory. Will leave the Wellington Phoenix at the end of the season.
I'm a Perth Glory fan. I don't understand this decision. What's Tando Valappi doing?
That's right. I mean, you'd have to think...
Why would you have the two best young keepers playing in Australia, playing in the same team?
The only thing I can think of on the spot is that Tando's off contract at the end of the season, and they must know that.
And maybe he's got something lined up. I hope they've got something lined up. So, otherwise, it's just bad.
Socceroos Harry Kewell and Lucas Neal both played as Galatasaray lost 2-0 on the weekend. The last ever game at the Ali Sami Yen in Turkey's Super League. That's the stadium. Timmy Cahill didn't score. Mark Schwarzer didn't concede. David Carney didn't play. Chris Hurd got 1 minute. Brett Holman played the full 90. And Tommy Orr, the next Harry Kewell, didn't start. Clearly, Utrecht are saving our Queensland Pele for the Asian Cup. And finally, in the Club World Cup, Socceroo, Sasha Ogonoski scored with a header as Songnam progressed to a semi-final clash with Inter Milan after a 4-1 win over wider. But because you want more, I've got more.
Right.
The FFA president, Sepp Blatter, says gay supporters should not have sex in Qatar, with homosexuality banned in the Gulf state. Asked whether gays and lesbians should worry about attending the tournament because of the Middle Eastern country's hostile attitude towards homosexuality, Blatter quipped they should refrain from any sexual activities, but Blatter hopes there will be an opening of the Islamic culture for the World Cup. It's another culture and another religion, but in football we have no boundaries, said Blatter. Only money. And on the top show on Fox Sports this week was the Melbourne Derby. And the question we're going to be asking is, does the Derby need a Melbourne Cup, just like the Bledisloe Cup? So we'll start with the Derby, actually.
Right.
Paddy, David, did you get hold of the Derby on the weekend?
Yep, I did.
23,000 there, great crowd, great
loved
stadium.
It, great passion.
Great passion. What did you think, David?
Well, true, and that's what, you know, Fossey said last night in the World Game. It's great passion. People sort of enjoy it. Big flags, chanting, 90 minutes. That's what it is needed.
Now, Fossey doesn't always like that. He's always concerned about the technical brilliance of the football, no matter what. Because as a Celtic fan, I interviewed Fossey once about the passion of the crowd and Celtic and how we like to get into the AC Milan and whatever. But he was only bothered about the technical aspect of the game. But for football supporters, it's the passion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a big element. But I've been following Fossey on Twitter, and he's just been in Brazil recently, and the passion of the supporters in the game is really something that he's been talking a fair bit about. So maybe it's a little bit of that. But I think he does, to be fair, talk about the technical aspects a great deal, but he is very much a football man and keen to see the passion, I think.
Yes. Now, I'm just wondering, watching that game, there's a great moment, actually, for me as an Australian football fan.
Oh, the free kick by Gerald Cibon? That was my great moment.
Oh, that was even that was probably the great moment. Yeah. What was Petkovic doing?
The giraffe. The giraffe can curl the ball around that.
Well,
wall.
It wasn't. Yeah, he did curl it, but he didn't. I mean, it was but more the, like what was the other guy doing? The keeper.
When you actually look at the wall, like Hernandez was actually standing there, and he actually turned around, and the ball went through exactly
what is it
his
about,
place.
And not just Hernandez. The other guy next to him was the other Costa Rican Anguola. We're going. What are they doing, Costa Rica? Say, hey, here comes a free kick. Duck. Is that what you do, David? because the two of them, it's like they only had to stand there, but both heads went down and they ducked away. And
well, that's what you do. That's what you do, especially if you expect a very, you know, hard and you know fast going sort of ball.
I suppose, you just flinch. The flinch reflex kicks in.
Carlos is so skillful; he never thought he'd have to block a do something as ordinary as just block a ball.
Just being a wall.
They probably didn't have to put him there. But no, the moment for me that was exciting, I suppose, was I was sitting there on the lounge room and it was like, we were just getting into it. And there was a minute and a half gone in the game. And I think possibly Sabon played a ball behind the defence to Rutger Wurm. And of course, Wurm misread it and it just rolled out. The crowd, as the ball rolled out, they just cheered. And it took me back to the terraces at Parkhead where every you know, in Celtic Rangers, every pass that went wrong from the first second, it was even in the warm-up if the ball didn't get towards the goal, we're up for it. So that it was a great moment and it just showed the passion of the people for the game. Now I enjoyed that particularly. I mean, the rest of the game was fine too.
Melbourne is a great sporting city, there's no doubt about it. But just one more little bit, I'm really happy to see Archie Thompson coming through now, and I think Thompson, Cruz and Hernandez is a great attacking three, and I think the Melbourne Victory, with their experience, they're going to be a real challenge in the finals.
They are definitely with that attacking force, and good to see Robbie Cruz still scoring. Now, the question I have in rugby, you know, we're always looking for an event in Australian football. We're always trying to borrow events from other codes, but I think the finals thing is a good thing, I guess. But I thought one thing we could borrow or steal, like the Bledisloe Cup. They play the Bledisloe Cup within the normal rugby season, the Tri-Nations
Cup.
And I think here, the Melbourne Cup with three games, you know, three games between Melbourne, Heart and Victory, it seems to me lend itself quite nicely to have an actual cup presented at the end of the three games. You know, what do you think, guys?
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think it's one of those things that we should borrow from other sports because it's a story within the season. And because the two Melbourne teams aren't always going to be doing well, and it gives them something to play for.
I was actually thinking about the ANZAC Cup, between Essendon.
Yeah, and right.
So it could be something similar. It
could be something like that, especially, Melbourne, mad people, they would always look forward to that kind of match.
That's
and
right.
I think that's good for them.
Some of the things we've seen in the A-League where the games have come along, Sydney, Melbourne, and they've been big games, but sometimes, the crowd drops off for whatever reason. But I think if you introduce the Melbourne Cup now, straight away in the first season, you'd have a trophy to present at the end of the three games. And there'd be a fair bit of passion. And it would sort of just mark who's won the cup and who keeps it and all that sort of thing. So the Near Post support the Melbourne Cup.
If there was only some way where we could transmit this radio signal electronically to a form where Ben Buckley could actually listen to it, we could get our ideas across.
Ben Buckley,
if only.
Yes. I don't know whether it would matter even if he did get your idea across.
Come on, he's our friend. He would listen.
We love Ben. Well, Paddy loves Ben.
I love Ben.
Melbourne Heart 0, Newcastle Jets 2, Adelaide 2, North Queensland Fury 0, Melbourne Heart 1, Melbourne Victory 3 in the derby. Gold Coast beat Wellington Phoenix 2-0. Sydney lost to Brisbane Roar 1-0. And that was a pretty dire performance from Sydney, particularly in the first half. They brought on the two strikers in the second half. And David, I thought a bit of a change, but not enough.
I think that Sydney is still sort of lacking some of the class that they had, last year, and lots of injured players and very inconsistent over this season. Of course, are probably more lower than up, very very inconsistent. And again, a couple of players do make a difference, but still sort of is the full team, I guess, is lacking confidence at the moment.
I think they really are, and I mean, I think the other thing they lack, which showed in the first half, they lack any sort of pace. And of course, if you're playing below yourself or not so well, if you've got no pace, you're never going to break out and they were playing, I haven't seen a team play at home so under the pump, not since Celtic played Barcelona, I think, at Parkhead.
Barcelona were under the pump?
No.
Oh, the other way around.
In fact, you could say Celtic, Manchester United, Celtic, but we won't go on. This is too long.
I think I want to talk about the flip side of that, is the Roar. And I did read after the game that Postecoglou asked his players to play for and protect the 1-0 lead in order to get them practicing holding leads for the finals. Mm-hmm. So that's a team that's full of confidence, that is not only playing the games, but playing certain tactics in order to develop their game further for when they need it.
And I guess that's what some of the teams in Europe would be doing. You see Barcelona, Manchester United winning games by the odd goal, and they know that they're strong enough, they're good enough to hold the lead, and I guess they play within themselves often for many parts. I mean, when you're playing Bolton, Blackburn, the list goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah, but training for certain situations to put their players under the pressure, yeah. I think, the Roar is a team full of confidence.
A sad indictment of Sydney FC that's how you...
Incredible, isn't it?
Really? But I guess that's how they know that they're so much stronger and better, and their confidence is oozing. Brisbane are 7 points ahead with 44 points, but don't be fooled, Adelaide have two games in hand, so they could be within a point of the mighty Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, and I think Adelaide are starting to pick up their game a bit. Mm-hmm. They had a bit of a drop, but with Leckie out, they struggled a little bit. But
eight teams have drawn with Brisbane, so you know, despite their wonderful record, there's still lots of games where they're not having it all their own way. Then followed by the Gold Coast and the Central Coast, 33 and 29, Victory and Newcastle, 23, 22 make up the six. The Heart, Wellington on 22 are level with Newcastle, the Heart 21, Sydney 18. So in theory, those teams are in the hunt. Perth on 16 and North Queensland on 59 suggest are gone. But you won't hear that from the Sydney.
We're calling Perth in the hunt. Is that, are we categorising
no,
as that?
No, Perth out of the hunt. Yeah,
I think so. And I think there was a lot of talk from Tony Sage and Ferguson from Perth about refereeing decisions. And whilst I'm not going to comment on the refereeing decisions themselves, I think it's a symptom of a team really struggling and looking to lash out and look for other explanations other than bad play. And I think tactically, once you start putting Fowler in at left back and he got cut open for that last goal to get Central Coast to draw, I think maybe you should be looking at your tactics rather than looking at the ref.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But, on the... The other issue, a couple more issues I want to go through, but very briefly just on the W League. Question I have for the Canberra United supporter base. They beat Newcastle 1-0 on the weekend, which I thought was their best game of the season. So they're now Brisbane Roar lead on 13 points. They got up against the Melbourne Victory 3-1. Sydney won as well. They've got 12 points. Canberra on 11. So those three lead the table, followed by Perth, Newcastle, Jets, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth on 6, and the rest of the teams way down. So I think the three teams out there in front, Brisbane play Canberra on the weekend, which is the TV game on ABC, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne, Perth. So the question I have, Michelle Heyman is the top scorer. She's flying. I mean, they got another goal on the weekend, won the game, making a big difference. Is she going to make the Matilda squad? She's got Caitlin Munoz, she's got Katie Gill, she's probably got Lisa Devana, Sarah Walsh, Lena Karmis, and Sam Kerr. The list goes on. I'll probably miss one or two there as well.
She's 22 years old. Does she need to make the squad immediately? Can she be on the fringes of it?
No, she needs to make the squad now because it's the World Cup. This year. Yeah. And in women's football, if you don't make it at 22, you will never make it.
Is that right?
Yeah,
right.
They're very young. They come through very young. And by the time they're 26, you'd almost... Not that you're gone, but you're on the way, aren't you?
But the other issue is that she's been playing very well. So, this is probably one of her best chances to actually make the squad. And I think she probably is asserting on the pitch what she is capable of. And
So my prediction is she won't.
On that basis?
On the basis more that there is still a lot of... you've got to leave out Katie Gill, the Asian Player of the Year, or Caitlin Munoz, or Lisa Devana, the best player in the world, or... Sam Kerr or whatever. So, the woman who scored the goal in the Asian Cup final. Well, so it's a good talent pool. But
That's right. That's what I was going to say. It's good to have those riches. I mean, it would be great for the Socceroos to have so many strikers that they've got to leave good ones on the bench or even off the squad.
Even when we've got young ones like Karen Bullitt, they seem to just disappear. What is it about Australian football media? Just Karen Bullitt, he came from the AFC, he came back from Asia, he had a club. There was a story about, some sort of... police involvement, but we've still heard nothing. Is he still in the country? Has he left? Is he playing? Is he not? I mean, how can it be that the champion goal scorer in Asia, 2-3 months after the tournament, is
just
not playing
away,
and nobody seems to know? So that's the question we have for the paid media in Australia. Now we're moving along to the Sydney FC CEO Edwin Lutt wants to drop player wages. We've talked about this in the news. Any thoughts on that? I mean, we're getting paid double the amount almost that the American National Soccer League is getting, and their crowds are way bigger than ours. Can we sustain the current level?
Well, I mean, there's two elements to that that I want to talk about. And one is I like the salary cap that we have, and yes, I don't feel that it needs to be the biggest salary cap in order to attract the players that we have. What we need to do is do what the salary cap gives us, which is a league that is even and you have exciting games each and every week, and you'll get people because of the exciting games. And we don't need to try and compete with some of the bigger leagues in the world, because the difference between us and them at the moment is so immense that we just can't buy those players. But here's the element that I really want to talk about from the Sydney CEO. It's like the speed limit. You don't have to spend every single dollar of that salary cap. They can spend less.
They have to spend 85%. So with that, one of the saying is that some of the weaker players, and again, compared to America, you know, you see the Seattle Sounders getting 35,000 people. How can we possibly survive if we're paying double the amount of money for...
less people.
And yeah. I don't think it's... I mean, I've always said with the early, we have spent a truckload of money since this league started. Well, not us, because we're in Canberra and I don't go to any games. But I know some people do. And more importantly, the owners have spent a truckload of money. And I just think, like, why didn't they set a revenue income? You know, I think it's a business thing they talk about. Income versus expenditure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems, okay, someone's going to put 2 million extra in. But you say, well, okay, we've got whatever money we're bringing in plus that 2 million. But that's it. So when you hear Sydney FC lost 6 million last year, and they're probably going to lose a whole heap more this year, where is the business model?
I think, like, for me, it's purely the business model. Like in the States, they actually go and look at it from the business point of view. To me, it's incomprehensible that we're talking about a base of, you know, 300 million people in the States, 18 teams. In Australia, we're talking 20 million, 11 teams. Mm. So I think that, and then the sustainability of teams cannot be assured once, you know, they get a sort of, you know, franchise, or they get sort of a license to play in the league. I think that it needs to be sort of seen as a business in which, you know, first you need to sort of do some, you know, put some capital, and then you will need to sort of, you know, create some expenditure, yes, to survive, but at the same time, you actually need to look, you know, long term. It is not easy for everyone. Melbourne Heart, great base, they can get, you know, large crowds. It's not the same for North Queensland.
No, I mean, Melbourne Heart, I mean, crowds are probably about 6,000, yep. But with the Derby, of course, it goes up to 10,000, 11,000 average. So the thing is, like, you know, once Clive Palmer or Tony Sage or Nathan Tinkler, the latest hero, once they leave, Australia doesn't have so many people who are desperate to put in millions upon millions. So I just think the model is completely wrong. Why haven't the FFA said, you budgeted for crowds, we want crowds of 15,000 in your budget or 10,000. And it's like, well, hang on, let's get real here. Let's have crowds of 6,000 average. And then if we don't make 6,000, we're not going to be too far off the pace.
That's right. And I think, you know, you make a good point, David, about the US and their business model. But the other thing that isn't reported as widely is the US, after, what was it, the 70s, New York Cosmos, and they set up Major League Football and it fell apart, they started again, and they started from the grassroots level. So what you have is the college system picking up football, and they do very, very well with that. And also women's football is incredibly strong in the US. So they did a lot of grassroots work that maybe in Australia we haven't done so well. So we've picked maybe a similar model to theirs, the MLS, but there is still some work to do in the grassroots level. It isn't about money in Australia. It's about hard work. It's about linking the local football all the way through.
I don't agree. It is too, Paddy, but I don't agree it's not about money. I think it's totally about money. I think they've set the bar way too high. The same bar for North Queensland as for Melbourne Victory. They, you know, your supporter base, your sponsorship base, they're saying that the team from North Queensland should have 85% of the salary cap, the same as Melbourne Victory, which means basically you can't have a football team in regional areas.
It's not totally about money. Otherwise, Clive Palmer and the Gold Coast would be the team to watch. And unfortunately, they don't even get the supporter base. There are elements that we have to work with, and
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, it's totally about money in the
sense. What about the sort of the footballers' base? In the US, they get like a massive amount of, you know, footballers, you know, from Latin America, almost, you know, playing for free. And of course, you know, you have good players. They charge you, you know, very small wages because, you know, they just want to go and play there. And there are like a few from Costa Rica. They, you know, I was sort of checking their salaries. It's just $100,000 per year.
Yeah.
When in Costa Rica, that's, you know, that's double.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And you also look at the Australian. I mean, the problem with the salary cap, Paddy, is that you get a guy like Danny Vukovic. Now, why hasn't he stayed at New Zealand? Because obviously Perth have gone over there and offered 10 or 20,000 more. And because there's such a limited pool of Australian players, that what Edwin Lute and I would agree with him is saying that the lesser stars, if you like, the sort of probably 15 players in the squad who aren't the major players, they're all getting, like the guys from Fury have just been, you're seeing them going out in droves. So they're probably all getting 10 or 20,000 or 30,000 extra. Off they go. You know, so it's driving up the wage bill. And I mean, I just can't see how we can be afford to pay higher than America in any shape or form. But there you go. That's what I'm going to. So, and last one we want to talk about very briefly, Paddy, the Asian Cup. Who are the homeboys? What is your news from Asia, by the way?
My news from Asia? Ah, yes. In terms of. Well, firstly, I want to talk about the Asian Cup, and I'd like to thank David Moyes personally for advertising the Asian Cup as much as he possibly can.
Well, he's a former Celtic player, as you probably know.
Every time Timmy Cahill does well in a game, David Moyes tells the world that Timmy Cahill's not—he's not going to let him go to the Asian Cup. More publicity for the Asian Cup. More publicity for Australian football. Thank you very much. We'll take that.
That's good. Yeah. Sasha Ogonoski.
Ogonoski in the. In the World Club Championship, doing very well. He is going to captain a team that is going to play Inter Milan. It's pretty fantastic.
That is, he's had an absolutely fantastic year, hasn't
yeah.
he? Will he get to the Asia Cup? I don't think so.
Well, that's the thing, because he played for the Socceroos. He didn't do so well, but
Asian
look,
player
we're talking
year?
Asian player of the year. How can you leave him out?
You can't.
Leadership alone, surely.
31 years of age.
Oh, I know. Mm. He's getting on, but he's obviously doing the job.
But still 31, he'd be around for the next qualifiers at least, maybe not the World Cup, but he'll be there, so we might give him a go. Just in from Twitter, Gold Coast aiming for 20,000 on the weekend. Good luck to them, see if they get it. And also, the players have been out doing appearances at Rabina Sports Store. And also on Twitter, Brisbane Royal star Massimo Madoka has been visiting the Royal Children's Centre.
Oh, so that's nice.
That is lovely. So they're getting out there doing the bit in the middle of the season. Now, yeah. The fixtures for this weekend.
Right.
In fact, for midweek football, which I love, Newcastle versus the Gold Coast. Do not miss that game. Newcastle on a rise. Gold Coast always entertaining in their own form. North Queensland versus Sydney. Probably go to bed early for that one.
Oh, no, I disagree. Sometimes they're the best games where the low-level teams are fighting each other for desperate for points.
Good point. Stay up and watch that one. And, and then finally, we've got Adelaide versus Melbourne on Friday night football. Do not miss that one. Wellington versus Newcastle on the Saturday. Melbourne victory versus Perth at Amy Park. Don't miss that, just to see the stadium. North Queensland versus Brisbane. It's a derby, if you can count a derby.
Yeah.
3,000 Kensbot. And finally, 20,000 people at the Gold Coast versus Central Coast. I'll believe it when I see
they
it.
They won't know what to do with themselves.
And if they are at the Gold Coast and they go to the near post,
get there first.
Get there
That's
first.
It, Paddy.
Yeah, thank you. Almost missed it. The near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.